in fear and put their trust in the Lord.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Give Daniel Foy a little love. Thanks, brother. Psalm 40, keep your Bibles, smartphones open, don't shut them. I want to quickly highlight five truths from this biblical text that's going to kind of guide and shape our conversation this morning. Here's the first one. First truth is this: God hears our cries of desperation. That's the first truth. Second, God sees when we feel are trapped or stuck. Truth three, God responds by putting us in a place where we get a different perspective. Truth four, God gives us a new vision or a new path of hope and health for which to walk. And five, God is trustworthy. And when we put our trust in God and we begin to see healing and change happen in our lives, others will see it as well, and they'll put their trust in God as well. Five truths that I want to work off tonight. So on Wednesday in chapel, we began to have this conversation where faith and mental health intersect. It's an important conversation that we need to have. And to be very honest, we in the church and in the Christian community usually don't do a very good job in having these hard conversations, asking the big questions revolving around mental health and faith. And so when we don't talk about that openly with each other, it leaves many of us at times, including a lot of us sitting in the room here today, feeling stuck or trapped or lonely and in despair. Kind of like the psalmist of Psalm 40 that we just heard from. And kind of like Eric and MC. I don't know if you know these two guys. These are seniors at Hope College. Eric Rosendahl from Holland, Michigan. Give a little wave. All right, good. And senior Mary Claire Tias, who is Tice from Lansing, Michigan. Can you give Mary Claire a little love as well, too? So can you two guys relate to the psalmist in Psalm 40? Has there been a place or a time in your life where you have felt stuck, trapped, desperate? Eric, how about you?
Yeah, so I guess for me, mine would be freshman year of college, which was quite a few years ago already.
You're old man, Eric.
Yeah. But it was actually in the fall. My father had a heart attack and passed away unexpectedly at work. So that was just really hard on me and still is. So.
Yeah. Eric, I remember that day really clearly because I had to come and tell you about that. That was a dark time. Yeah. That was a hard time. MC, how about for you?
Yeah, so mine started near the end of high school. I just started to feel more down and out of it, and there wasn't really a good reason. I was always a perfectionist and just chasing that perfection in school and in sports and other areas of life, and it just didn't really make sense. And I thought that, you know, I could just keep it to myself and eventually it would go away. But as I came into college, you know, my freshman year and into my sophomore year, the depression, I realized that I had clinical depression, and it just began to get worse to the point where I was having suicidal thoughts, and I knew that I needed to reach out and get some help because I was in trouble.
So in trouble, freshman year, dad passes away, dark place. What were some of the things, even as the psalmist said, you know, he felt trapped and stuck. You know, what were some of the things that were keeping you trapped and stuck in those areas of darkness?
I guess the biggest things for me is I had a lot of anger. I was mad at God. I was mad at the world. I had thought that there had to be something that I had done to let that happen because I don't know, I thought I was a good person before, and so I thought that I'd do something.
Why would God do this to
you? Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I did to deserve this. So I was just very angry. And then also just blamed myself. I just felt really guilty and thought that there's something I did or something I could have done different. And that just really kept me trapped.
Yep. And did you share that much with Eric, with other people, or was it just kind of you just keeping all this to yourself?
I kept a lot of it to myself. But there were some friends that surrounded me my freshman year and really rallied alongside me and let me know that I was loved, that they cared for me, and no matter what I did to push them away, they still loved me and cared about me and weren't going to quit on me.
Yeah. How about you, MC? What keeping you trapped? What were some of the things that were keeping you stuck?
Yeah, so one major thing that was keeping me stuck was all of the lies that I was believing. And looking back and delving into those, I was able to identify, like, these lies are from the enemy. But I was just believing that I wasn't good enough, that other people cared about me way more than I cared about them. And I honestly believed that it wasn't ever going to get better. So those lies and believing them were a huge thing that kept me stuck.
I think the big thing is that when we both talked about this, that feeling of hopelessness, right? Never going to get out of this. This is how life's going to be. I'm going to be here forever. And that just keeps you in that place, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yep. So, PC, would you put those five things back up on the overhead? So how did God begin to meet you in these stuck places? You know, even as the psalmist says, God pursued me and lifted me out of the miry pit. How did God begin to do that? And what people did God begin to send in your life? MC, I'm starting this time with you, not you, Eric. All right, MC.
All right. So for me, the people who reached me first were really friends here at Hope. So I just want each of you to know that as a friend, you have so much power to speak truth and life into those around you and really influence their lives. And I've been here for 5 years, and I would say every year the people who have been able to speak truth into me have been different, but the Lord has provided all of the time. So friends, and then also people who have been really instrumental for me have been my therapist and my psychiatrist. Facing mental health is definitely a spiritual battle, but sometimes there's also physical and emotional needs that have to be addressed, and I just want to say that there's no shame whatsoever in reaching out, and those professionals are there to help you, and they really helped me.
That's really important, because I think there's a stigma sometimes in our Christian community, like, hey, you can't see a counselor, you can't see a therapist, or you're really whacked, you know what I mean? Not true, and I appreciate that. That's really helpful. Eric, how about you?
Yeah, I also went to counseling, still do, and that helped a lot. But I guess my wake-up call, so to speak, was I guess back up a little bit. I made a lot of very poor decisions in my life to kind of try and cope, to kind of fill that void that was left, to heal myself, to make myself feel better, but none of them worked. And after one particularly bad night of doing stupid things, I just woke up and I just was like, I can't keep doing this. It's hurting me more than it's helping, and I'm hurting others around me, and it's just slowly eating at me, and I was like, there has to be another way, and that's when I finally started to listen, to my friends, to my family that were saying that God still loves me, that He has never abandoned me and will never abandon me. That was my wake-up call.
That's awesome. Yeah. Really, which is this song. God began to give you a new perspective, a vision of hope.
Yeah.
There is another way. Mm-hmm. There is another way. And so for you guys, what's the new way the new path that God has put you on? I mean, this is a journey. This isn't a light switch. All of a sudden, you know, everything's okay. So what's the journey you've been on, the new song that God's put in your heart?
Yeah. So for me, it really has been a journey, and it's been a continual battle. It hasn't just been I turned to God and all of a sudden everything was better, but I can say that it's been a series of breakthroughs and that prayer has been such a powerful tool, even just texting friends when I'm in a place of darkness and really just praying. And I've seen the Lord transform so many areas of my life through that. The new song, it's just knowing that the Lord doesn't want you to live in darkness and that He hasn't created you to live in depression or in anxiety. I had to realize that that's not what He wants for me. What He wants is to set me free and to have me live in freedom and joy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Eric, how about you?
I guess like a lot of what Mary Claire said, I just continue. I'm definitely a work in progress, for sure. But I have that hope of a God that loves me and loves all of us so much that we can never stray too far away from him. And he's always there with us. And that's just the one thing I keep seeking out and choosing to, I don't know, to do.
Yeah, which is awesome. So here you two guys are. You're being pretty vulnerable in front of 1,000 people here. So why would you do this? I'm not paying you. You're not getting any, you know, free tuition money or anything like that. Oh, you thought so. Okay. So why the importance of sharing today openly about some of your own issues of depression and darkness in your life? Why do you feel so strongly about sharing today?
Yeah. So my hope is that sharing today, we can start a conversation on our campus and just create a space where people feel comfortable being vulnerable and saying, you know, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to bring these burdens and rely on others. And it's okay to wrestle with these tough questions of where is God in all of this pain? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I would just love to see those who are struggling, whether it's mental health or other areas of their life, see the transformative power of Jesus like breakthrough in their life.
Awesome. Yeah. Eric?
Just know that you are not alone. We all have our own struggles and our own things going on in our life that make life hard.
Yeah.
But we have God, and that's really all that we can focus on.
Yeah, I love it. And I love it that you both have said God most of the time works through people, right? You said the importance of friends, each other, and also faculty and staff here at Hope, but also counselors and therapists as well too are really crucial. So that's awesome, but somebody's out there going right now, I'm stuck. What do I do? Where do I go? Well, we got something for you, an action step. Because earlier this semester, Eric and Mary Claire and some other upper-class students, along with Nancy Smith in our office, were saying, how can we respond to this? Because we're having conversations with students all the time who are dealing with a lot of issues in their life. Loss in the family, perfectionism, all kinds of other issues going on. So what do we do with it? So what we did, we met first semester, and on Monday, can we get that slide up now? On Monday, starting this coming Monday, we're going to start a group called Revive. And it's going to meet at the Keppel House, 8:30 to 9:30, only for an hour. No sign up. We want to make sure you understand that this is a group that if you come, it's safe, it's confidential. And Mary Claire and Eric and Colton Stivey, Caroline Finn, where are you? Caroline Finn, Leanne Robinson, somewhere, okay. Those are the kind of the student leadership along with Nancy Smith. And we're going to really begin to address some of the hard questions in regards to faith and mental illness. Again, safe confidentiality. You don't need to sign up. Just come. And it's going to run for 6 weeks up to spring break. And let's just admit it, you guys. January and February are tough months. Yes? Yes? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So let's do it together. Let's do it together that we allow each other to speak truth into one another's lives. And for the vision of this, a new song, even as Mary Claire said, God's design for us is not to be a vision of that we're depressed and hopeless, but a vision of freedom and hope. Amen? Let me pray. Loving God, this is truth. This is truth that you're speaking today. And I know there's at least one person out there. Now, Lord, I know there's 10 people, 20, 30, 40, 50 of us out here today who are saying, that's me right now. I am stuck. I am in despair. I am desperate. I am at the end of my rope, God. What are you going to do? God, by your Holy Spirit, would you give them the courage to share that with somebody else, even right now, to maybe seek counsel from their advisor or coach or faculty member? Or even, Lord, would you bring them Monday to this group that meets at the Keppel House at 8:30. Give them the ability to have the courage to take a step to go a different alternative, a new path, a new song. Put it in their life. Bring healing and transformation. Only you can do this, Lord. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.